This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Welcome to another episode in the journey of the true hero. We've been through into the belly of the whale and we've come out, and we're now in the new world, a different world, a place that is strange and alien to us. Of course, if you don't know what I'm talking about and you haven't been listening to the previous episodes, we are talking about the monomyth, a story that is repeated again and again throughout human history, and that you find reflected in myths and mythologies and legends, and indeed histories and real stories of real people, because in a sense it encapsulates what the human condition is all about and what is heroic about the human condition. And we talked about, and we remind ourselves very importantly, myself and all of you, about what being heroic really means. It's to do with compassion, it's to do with empathy, it's to do with improving yourself and making the world around you a better place. That's ultimately what it's all about. But in order to do that, we need to change. We need to change ourselves. We need to improve ourselves. We need to make ourselves better. And that's ultimately what it is all about. In many ways, it is symbolic of a movement away from childhood to adulthood and all the different things that a person goes through in order to be grown up and be a man and be a woman. But it's way more than that, and it's deeper than that. And what's really fascinating and interesting is that many of the things that we're talking about, we find them in the Quran, we find them in the lives of the Prophet, of all the Prophets, because of course the messengers of Allah are indeed truly the greatest heroes. They are without doubt humanity's greatest heroes, because what they have done and what they have sacrificed is the most altruistic thing a human being can do. It's not for any degree of glory or self-praise or seeking fame. And it's not even, and this is interesting, it's not for the sake of some tribe or some nation or to elevate their own people in the sense of a particular racial group, because ultimately the quest of the Prophets, the journey of the Prophets, their heroic journey, is about bringing humanity the truth. And so just like every hero, they faced the multiple of challenges. And that's ultimately what we're talking about today. I think today probably all we're going to be able to do is give an introduction to this stage of the journey, because in reality, it occupies the large percentage of any story of a hero, any heroic tale. Most of it is going to be concerned with this particular aspect. So it's trials, tests, difficulties, challenges, making friends, realizing who are your true friends, who are your allies, who are your helpers, and who are your enemies and who are your foes. And these things could be, they could actually take on many forms. They could be, of course, they could be simple physical challenges. And even in terms of your friends and your allies, they could be physical objects. They could be just things within nature, natural things. They don't necessarily have to be people, but obviously often they are. And with it comes a whole bunch of complexities, because it may be that people who seem like friends are actually enemies, and people who you might imagine are enemies are actually friends. Or sometimes your enemies become your friends, or your enemies are even your helpers, even though they are unwittingly so. And that is all part of the, you know, and how do you deal with it? How do you cope with it? How do you process all of that? That is what really life is all about. This is what life is about. And this is why it's really, I think it's really, really important to, it's really helpful to look at this monomyth and to look at one's life within, you know, through the lens of this, you know, the hero's journey, and also to use it as a tool to reflect on the lives of the prophets and the messengers. Because it's very important, brothers and sisters, to remember that the Quran is full of these stories, and these stories are there for a very, very important purpose. It's not just entertainment. It's Allah has given us these stories to inform us and to guide us and to enlighten us and to give us courage and to give us direction and to help us process the different things that happen to us in our life. So there's almost nothing that you can think of that happens to you in your life, however difficult it is, because that's it. Life is a test. No one said it's going to be easy, brothers and sisters. And this is what is so important. And that's, I guess, why we love these stories. We love these stories of heroes. We want our heroes to go through difficulties and tests. And in fact, on one hand, we don't. But on the other hand, that's what's so irresistible about it. Because, and this is very important, it is these tests and these difficulties and these hardships and these tribulations and these obstacles that we meet on the way. We're trying to reach this destination, but this thing keeps blocking us and that thing keeps blocking us, and we're diverted by this and nearly derailed by that. And obviously it is the whole process of how our heroes overcome these obstacles, whether it's through sheer physical strength, but often it's through cunning, it's through thinking their way through, it's through trying to figure out the puzzle. And sometimes it is through spiritual means or psychological, because all of these tests and trials come at many, many different, from many, many different angles and many, many, many different ways. And that's just, this is all part of what makes this mosaic that is our life, and that is this, you know, the journey of the true hero. So let's, you know, we can examine some of these things. Subhanallah. So one of the stories I was thinking about in the Quran, one of the first stories that came to my mind when I was thinking about today's subject, and I'm probably going to constantly fall back to this because I want to refer. I mean, I could refer to so many stories. I could refer to, obviously, you could refer to, you know, books and works of fiction and legends, but I think it's better for us, inshallah, to delve into the lives as much as we can of the prophets, because ultimately that is our source of guidance. That's our source of inspiration. That's where we want to take our guidance and inspiration from. So in this particular thing, so last week, obviously the most obvious story was the story of Yunus, because literally, obviously, Yunus, alayhi salam, he goes literally into the belly of the whale. But what struck my mind was the story of Yusuf, alayhi salam. Now, it's interesting that, in a sense, Yusuf, he is exposed. And this is another thing I wanted to mention, that it's not always that this monomyth that I am going through is going to follow this pattern. Sometimes some things may happen at different stages. It may not happen necessarily in the order that I'm mentioning. So, for example, in the story of Yusuf, he obviously is a young boy, a young child, and this is a classic story. He is being taken. This is it. It's a classic example of the hero's journey. He is taken away from his father. He's taken away from his family. He's taken away from his mother. He's a young boy. And who are the people? His first experience, in a sense, the first thing that he's experiencing, even before you can say he goes to the belly of the whale, which is when he's put into the well, is the betrayal of his brothers. And so even before he's in the well, which in a sense then you could say this is the part of the belly of the whale, until Yusuf comes out and he's taken out of that, and then he's sold into slavery, into this totally different, completely different world, completely different life. And what an extraordinary experience, and what a journey, and what a series of tests and trials and difficulties. I mean, you can only imagine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, he gives us, you know, the most tangible and important details, but you could use your imagination to fill in some of the gaps, to try and imagine what it must be like for a young boy to go through that, to experience that. So, I mean, so from the very outset, Yusuf, alayhi salam, he is experiencing the betrayal of his brothers. Yet at the same time, it's interesting because although his brothers are his enemies, they are not his enemies in, I suppose, a very, very clear-cut sense. His brothers, you know, they want his dad's favor, and they look at Yusuf as a sort of barrier to that. It's a sort of, well, it's envy, isn't it? It's envy. And it leads them to do something terrible, but ultimately we know at the end they are reformed, and they I guess they go through their own journey. And it can be sometimes that people who are enemies in the end become friends. All of this is part of the complexity of the human condition, the complexity of life. And yes, sometimes, you know, we boil things down to, you know, black and white, good and evil, you know, these are the good guys and those are the bad guys. But, you know, sometimes the most fascinating and interesting and exciting and gripping stories are the ones where it's not always so clear, when there is this ambiguity. And it's always something we want. You know, at the end of the day, we want people to be saved. We want the best. We want everyone the best to come out of. And this is something, I guess, as Muslims, we want the best for everyone. Ad-din and nasiha. We even want to see the most, we'd rather see the most terrible criminals reform and change and become good. And just as they did evil, they did good. That's what we all want. Surely we'd all want that. And even if you get an inkling of that, even if you get a sparkle of that, it's something that inspires hope in us. So anyway, this is very interesting about the story of Yusuf. And you can see that he's, so again, we find that he is, amongst the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us in the Quran, who are his allies, who are his friends. So his master, for example, the person who actually buys him, really cares for him. And again, we have that betrayal in the sense that one of the people who really should care about him and be looking after his interests, which is the wife of Aziz, lusts after him, and because of that puts him through a whole another series of difficulties and tests and trials. So you can see that Yusuf, he's going through multiple tests, multiple difficulties, both and physical ones in terms of the sheer physical hardship of being in prison, of the life that the difficulties put through, as well as the mental ones, the spiritual challenges that he faces. What a just an amazing story. And of course, we can find the same thing with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very soon finding out in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that once he has, you know, he comes out of the cave, and you know, he's got received the first revelations of the Quran, and he comes running to Khadija and, you know, wrap me up. And so again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the things that you see in his journey sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his heroic journey, is all the things that he learns, all the things that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam discovers, all the things that Allah is teaching him about human beings, about human nature, who are his friends, who are his allies, you know, from his wife Khadija to Waraka to Abu Bakr to Ali ibn Talib, those early followers of Islam, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and, you know, those people who were, and then people who were the most stringent enemies who became friends like Umar ibn al-Khattab, or those who stayed enemies like his uncle Abu Lahab, someone you would have thought would be his supporter, his uncle Lahab, Abu Lahab, someone who, subhanAllah, was in a sense, you could say someone who was, what can you say, like ambivalent, in the sense that someone who was a clear supporter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from one aspect, but who never really accepted and in the end didn't accept his call, which was of course his uncle Abu Talib. So it's you have all of this rich mosaic and tapestry of human experiences and these interactions. And this, in a sense, is really, you know, what is key. Who is going to help you on your journey to Allah? Who is going to help you on this journey of being a better you? And who is going to oppose you? Who's going to try and drag you down? Who is going to make it harder for you to reach your destination? This is all part of what growing up is about. This is all part of what this heroic journey is about, because ultimately, that's what's going to happen when you are going to embark upon this journey of the true hero, when you are going to embark upon this journey of self-transformation. And and it's not self-transformation merely for the sake of your own self. It's not an ego thing. Remember that, right? This self-transformation, this self-mastery is not based, it's not, ultimately, it's not for ego. It's not for you. It's for something greater than that. It's for something more noble. That's what's very important to understand. So in this journey of seeking this, there are going to be people who are going to stop you. They are going to impede you. And they're going to do that because in their mind, in their viewpoint, it is conflicting with their self-interest. It is conflicting with their comfortable, because that's what you're doing. Ultimately, you're going to be challenging the status quo. And when you challenge the status quo, there are always people who want to maintain the status quo because they've put their energy and their time and their effort into building it because it suits them. And it seems, as they imagine, it benefits them. So this is what you're ultimately going to have. You're going to have a battle. You're going to have a conflict. You're going to have this clash between the people on that path seeking the truth and the people who have rejected it, people who want to keep things just the way they are. Thank you very much. And this is what we find being played out in history over and over and over again. And of course, this is what is exactly happening in the life of all the prophets, very dramatically, of course, in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, very dramatically in the life of Musa alayhi salam. Musa especially, you see, he's taking on Fir'aun, who is the superpower of his time, right? Fir'aun is like the, you know, arguably the most, maybe in materialistic terms, maybe the most powerful person in the world at the time. And Musa is taking on him, his system. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is interesting because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is confronting idolatry, he's confronting idol worship, he's confronting everyone who worships something other than Allah. He's confronting a world that is disordered, a world that is in jahiliyyah, seeped in ignorance, that is far away from being enlightened with divine guidance and with the morals and the manners and the path that leads to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a, you know, society that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is dealing with, that is seeped in jahiliyyah. And we see the huge number of physical challenges. Subhanallah, it's so interesting when Aisha, I think she's asking the Prophet about, you know, what was your hardest day? And subhanAllah, you think about all the things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through, the great many difficulties and trials and challenges that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through. But he
sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know, he could identify almost straight away, you know, what was his hardest day. And that was the day when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to Taif. And, you know, he went there because Allah had given him permission to invite the people to Islam. Now, that's important because, you know, in a sense that it showed that I think from the Prophet, I'm imagining here that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was thinking that the reason why Allah had allowed him to go to Taif was because the people of Taif are going to accept Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was looking in a sense for a base, a physical place from where he could pass this message on. So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was looking for, because obviously, and this is important, Arabian society was a tribal society. That this was the social norm. This was the, you know, modus operandi. This was the, you know, paradigm at the time. It was a paradigm of tribalism. And so it's interesting because I was listening to a documentary about the peasants' revolt that took place in the 1300s here in England. There was a peasants' revolt, which was actually, we probably never heard about it in history because, you know, what do we study? We study kings and queens and battles. But actually, the peasants' revolt was actually one of the most important events in British history, although you probably don't hear about it. But it was important because it was just unheard of for peasants to rebel and to revolt, but they did because they got fed up of how they were being treated, and they got fed up of being overtaxed and overburdened with tax. The snapping point came when they were treated very, very badly. So the modus operandi in medieval Britain was the serf system, and it was very interesting because people, you know, you can actually be quite well off. You could have quite a nice house, you could have good possessions, but if you were a serf, you couldn't leave the land. You couldn't even get your daughter married without the lord of the manor's permission. I mean, that's how you were literally almost a slave. You weren't quite a slave, but you were almost a slave. It's sort of some weird thing between sort of slavery and, well, that's what it is, being a serf. You were, in a sense, indentured to the lord of the manor and the land where you lived, and you were not free to go where you like and just go anywhere. This, compare that with the modus operandi in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was a tribal society, and in that society safety came from being part of a tribe. And if you were a member of a strong tribe, generally no one would mess with you, because that's how tribalism works. If someone did something bad to someone from your tribe, that was it. You would take revenge. You wouldn't ask whether the person from your tribe had done something right or wrong, or behaved in a wrong way or a right way. It didn't matter. They were from your tribe, and you protected your tribe, and you stood up for them and took revenge on their behalf. But if you were from a weak tribe, or what if you didn't have a tribe at all, then your life could be really difficult because people could pick on you and you had no way to defend yourself. And it's interesting because this is one of the reasons why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even before he was a prophet, he had taken part in this Hilf al-Fudail, which was like a treaty that was made where, you know, these leaders of Arabian society came together, because this tribalism had become so bad that the poor and the weak were being oppressed, and that, you know, there was banditry, and that they couldn't even have trade because this is how bad the situation was. There was literally just no law and order. So they wanted to do something about it. They wanted to establish some sort of, you know, system of order so that people were just not randomly mistreated and oppressed. So things were pretty bad. You can see how things were really pretty bad in Arabian society. So it's this tribalism that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to deal with. So if his own tribe, and this is after the death of his uncle Abu Talib, so he had no more protection. He was not really being protected anymore by his tribe, because what he was doing was sort of so outside the pale that even his tribe were refusing really to protect him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was looking for a base. He was looking for some alternative place from which to, you know, get the physical protection in order to be able to pass on his message. So when Allah gave the Prophet the permission to go to Ta'if, probably, I'm guessing, the Prophet ﷺ was thinking, oh, this is it. These are the people who are going to, you know, accept Islam and, the agree to sort of take me on board. But they didn't, you know. And even though the Prophet spent days knocking on the doors of, you know, calling people to Islam, no one became Muslim. And worse than that, when the Prophet left Ta'if, the leaders told the street urchins to stone the Prophet, you know, to stone him. And they pelted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with stones to the extent that he was bleeding so much that his sandals stuck to his feet. This is the sort of thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through. This is the sort of stuff the Prophet went through. And so it's interesting here that what is taking place in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is almost what happens in a sense at the end of the hero's journey, because what happens at the end of the hero's journey is that the hero comes out of this strange new world that the hero has entered into, and they come changed, they come, anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself now, but this is the next stage. They return to their people to benefit their people with what they've learned. So in a sense, this is already happening in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's happening quite quickly. But once you're doing that, you will meet a whole new series of challenges and difficulties. But in a sense, you're prepared for it, because your journey, everything you've gone through, has prepared you and helped you. I think another thing within today's theme that we need to talk about which I think is very interesting, when we talk about trials and tests and tribulations, when we talk about friends and allies and helpers, and we talk about the complexity of that subject, of really trying to identify who your true friends. Sometimes it's easy to know who your enemies are, but maybe not always easy to know who your true friends are, because sometimes, most dangerously of all, is that your enemy comes to you as your friend. And this is usually the thing that is hardest to deal with. And this is, of course, the situation of the munafiqun, the people who outwardly were accepting Islam. Outwardly, they were pretending to be helpers and allies of Islam and the Muslims. But in reality, inwardly, their only intention was to cause division, was to cause fitna, was to, in a sense, try and destroy everything from the outside. That's the worst of them, like a spy, or like, this is the pure worst type of hypocrite. And some of them just, in a sense, becoming Muslim for convenience, because it seemed to be like the right thing to do, in sense of, you know, where is the power and where's the strength, but not with no real sincerity, with no real that it didn't really believe it. They're just doing it because it seemed to be the most convenient and the most prudent and the most pragmatic, you know, course of action for those people to take. So the problem with that is that those people may think that they are with you, but in reality they're working against you the whole time, and any opportunity they have to desert you and turn things on their head, they will do it. There's no real loyalty there. And that's another big lesson. This is one of the things that, you know, the hero learns on the journey. And that's part of what you have to learn in life, brothers and sisters, because take it back to you. All of this is really for you and me, for you to be able to understand. For you to be able to understand and for you to be able to comprehend about what's going on in the world around you. And so, brothers and sisters, this is very important. And it's so important also to go back to these stories of the Quran. And I think, like, again, once you see this framework, or you can understand this framework that I am presenting to you, I think it helps to make a lot of sense. That when you do read these stories of the prophets, even when you read any story of, you know, a hero's journey, then what are you taking from it? What are you getting from it? What benefit are you going to reap from it? It's all there ultimately to help you in your life and in your own journey, because at the end of the day, we're all the heroes of our own journeys. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a pleasure talking to you as always. I hope you got something from this. I'll probably continue next week a little bit more about talking about allies and enemies, because I think that's like a really important and interesting subject. But until then, brothers and sisters, have a think, like I always ask you this week, in the week coming, think about this subject. Think about tests and trials and difficulties, the different ways that they come to you, the different tests and difficulties that you go through, whether they are physical, mental, spiritual. Maybe we'll talk about that in a bit more detail as well, because today was just only supposed to be a sort of general introduction. And just think about foes and friends. Who are your friends and foes, and who are your real helpers? And are they really helping you on your journey to Allah, which is the most important thing? Are they really helping you in your journey of self-mastery? Are they really helping you in this transformative journey that we're all on, or we should all be on? Because that's what life is about, ultimately. Anyway, until next week, brothers and sisters, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.